hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr.
And here he is.
Oh, thank you for that. Thanks. It's always fun listening to that beginning track. I hope that doesn't put some people off. But thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm back. I've had 3 days off, folks, and I've done some writing. I've done some reviewing and just some plain old relaxing. And I've booked shows. So it should be an interesting four-day week. I'm on from Monday through Thursday. I keep saying Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday, starting from 6 p.m. Chicago Times, Chicago Central Standard Time, to 7:30, sometimes 8 o'clock, to 1 or 2 hours, 2 hours, whatever comes first. And it's exciting to be back, a three-day off, and I need it. I mean, I really do need it. This show takes a lot of work. A lot of money, and basically a lot of work, a lot of dedication, a lot of pride into what I'm doing, and I love what I'm doing. Thanks for joining me. You can always follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Click follow. I'm on Facebook, Google. I'm all over the place. LinkedIn, Flickr, wherever there's a social media, you just might find me. So thanks for tuning into the show, and we should have a great show today. Folks, we always have a great show. All right, author Linz Lemmingsdorf, if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, is scheduled to be on the show. We'll see how far that goes. Okay, special guest. All right. All right. As you know, folks, I'm in Chicago. I'm broadcasting out of my studio. I have this great big old window sitting dead in front of me, and I'm looking out on the boulevard. And especially last week, while I was doing the show, it was miserable. It was the weather in this town was just goddamn miserable. Okay. The weekend was even crummier. As you're listening to me live, if you're listening to me live, this is Monday, May 2nd, and I'm not too keen. I don't want to say too many things about April weather-wise in terms of the weather, but it stunk. What can I say, folks? It just was not, especially in the city of Chicago. Maybe where you are, the weather's a little bit more cooperative. It feels a little bit more like spring where you are, but it's miserable here. I mean, we've had some crummy weather, and the weather people are just, they just can't seem to get it right. They can't seem to get it down pat of what it's going to be like. And a lot of people are angry at the forecasters because, just like I just got through saying, they just can't seem to get this crap right. But we've had a totally crummy weekend in the city of Chicago. Last week was crummy. I mean, rain, gray, and just awful. But hopefully they're saying, the weather people, they're saying that, George, don't hit us too hard. We're trying our best. Coming days going to be, it's going to be nice. Weekend's going to be in the 80s almost. Well, you know what I say? I say, well, I'm just going to have to wait to see that, because you guys have been wrong so many times. I'm just going to have to wait and see what happens. If it happens, I'm going to pat you on the back. If it's not, I'm going to bash you on my radio show. This is the Talk About Times, Anything Goes on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Smart quiz. We do have a smart quiz on the show today. If the president can no longer serve, who becomes president? I should pull up the chat room here. I'm always forgetting to do that. And I can see, if I pull up the chat room, I can always see who's coming into the chat room and who's going to probably answer that smart quiz question. If you don't know the answer, it's a shame, but a lot of people don't know the answer to that question. And the question is, if the president can no longer serve, who becomes president? I mean, it's a simple question. It's an easy question. I mean, it's not tough. I try not to make things tough for my audience or my listeners or anybody, but that's an easy question. But you'd be surprised at the people who don't know that. And I'm talking about young people who don't know that. But if you don't know that, this is your chance to learn. And stick around. I will have the answer later on in the show if nothing else comes up. So you're listening to my show, the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I've been on for almost a year. I'm footing the bill. So, and it's always fun. It's always fun, folks. And one of the things that's going to make my show a little bit more fun for my listeners is that Mother's Day is coming up. I mean, it's actually, if you're listening to the show live, Mother's Day is actually next Sunday. And I have some tidbits here on how to celebrate Mother's Day. And our mothers, whether they're still alive or they're past, they are still special to all of us. And they come before anything else, you know, anything else, politics, anything else in our lives, jobs, work, our mothers comes anything, okay? Because they have been so good to us over the years, and we should be just as good to them by celebrating them and acknowledging them, not just on Mother's Day, but every single day. Every single day, I think mothers should be acknowledged, especially the good mothers out there. We've got bad parents, folks, believe me, but we have some of the greatest mothers in the world. And I'm going to always acknowledge that. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTY. It's 6:07 straight up Chicago time, 6:07 p.m. straight up Chicago time. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago, and it's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful, it's cold. It's ridiculous, the weather is. But I'm pretty sure spring is going to show up at some point. And like I said before, I hope wherever you are, and I hope that the world is a better place where you are. Okay. All right. There is some school out here. Let's move right along. Calling for violence against black people. I'm trying to get some more information on that. When I do, I will get right back, and I will let my audience know what's going on. Okay. One-third of the staff at Chicago State University has been let go. That means a lot of the students are being upended. Their education has been upended by the governor of this state, Bruce Rauner. Okay? Layoffs, you know, not at Chicago State, but there's other colleges around and universities around town who are also struggling. Bruce Rauner is strangling the life out of Illinois, folks. I talk about this guy almost every day that I'm on the show, and I get really, really sick of it. I get tired of talking about this guy, because the more I say anything about him, the negativity that comes out of my mouth about this guy, he just gets worse. He's using his executive authority to do all of this mayhem in the city of Chicago. The thing about it, folks, he's coming, especially in the people of Illinois. Bruce Rauner is coming up on his second year in office. That means a one-term governor of Illinois if he's not taken out of the Capitol in handcuffs. He will be a one-term governor. That's great. And in about a year from now, he should have an opponent, somebody who's going to run against him. He should have about three or four opponents, because his approval rating in the state of Illinois has been dismal as long as he's been in office. So when you have a low polling when it comes to your job, that sets up people to run against you in a general election, because the opponents are going to say, wow, he's got problems. People don't like him. They don't like what he's doing. He's running the state. He's going to have every opponent there is to run against him in 2018. And my thing is, Bruce Rauner is a rich man. I mean, he doesn't take a salary. He doesn't need to. But his wife takes a six-figure salary. So my thinking right there is that it's all in the family. I mean, he's going around, I'm not taking a salary. I'm the governor, but I'm not going to take a salary. He's not taking a salary. I guess that's supposed to save Illinois money because he's not taking a salary, or he feels that he's a billionaire. He doesn't need to take a salary. My thing is, my thinking is, if he doesn't take a salary, which is good, but however, like I've just mentioned, his wife is taking a salary. His wife is taking a salary. I believe it's $100,000 a year. You know? So that's, to me, you know, or anyone else, she's taking a salary and it's all in the family. And the thing about it is that her salary that she's taking came from programs that he cut the funding for or eliminated. So he takes those funds and give it to his wife and other people who are working for him. So basically, like I've been saying for a thousand times on these shows, he's Robin Hood in reverse, taking from the poor and giving to the rich. I mean, everybody who's anybody is in this guy's ass about how he's just strangling Illinois and just do not give a damn. And the thing about it, once he's voted out of office, if he tries to run again, I don't think this guy should try to run again. He doesn't have a chance in hell of winning a second term as governor of the state of Illinois. Basically, all the damage that Bruce Rauner is doing to the state of Illinois, he's doing it through executive actions. He's using his executive powers to crush this state, and he's doing it on purpose. And once the state is totally crushed, he's going to blame the Democrats. He's going to blame someone else for it. And nobody who's with a mind of their own is going to believe that crap. But one of the things is, he's doing everything with executive powers. He's not going to the legislature, and they're not voting on anything that this guy's done. He's slashing and burning programs, eliminating programs like the Meals on Wheels for seniors and elders, autism, and clinters and centers, and he's shutting down and closing out colleges and universities. He's just upending this state. And I just, you know, he's cutting, using his executive powers. But let me say this, folks, once he's out of office, whether he's out of office, going to jail for corruption, or he's voted out, remember, all of these things that he's done to the state has been through executive action. Nothing has gone through the legislature. So therefore, once he's out of office in the state of Illinois, another governor will come in and he can erase everything on the books. Action that this guy has taken on this state, he can erase it because nothing has legislative process that what he's done. See, when he does executive action, all he's doing is signing that stuff in there. He's writing it in there. Then the next governor can come along and erase it all, you know. So it's better. If this guy's going to try to do something, it's better to do it through legislative action. That way, you know, it'll be harder to try to null and void after he's out of office. I think he should be because he's deliberately, purposely ruining the lives of people. Unemployment under this guy has skyrocketed. State is the worst it's ever been. Credit ratings have been downgraded to junk bonds and garbage because of this guy, because he won't pay his bills. He's saying that we do not have the money. Oh, we have the money, folks. They just refuse to try to find the money. Every time the city says it doesn't have money for this and doesn't have money for that, miraculously, they find it. I'm pretty sure the state can do that too. Because there are 60 to 70,000 of state workers in the state of Illinois. They may not get checks in the coming because of this budget battle. 10 months old. 10 months old, and I'm getting a sore throat from talking about it all the time, but it's something I must talk about because I live in the state of Illinois and I love it, and I don't want to see people destroy it. Of course, people are leaving the state, and they have every right to do that, and I really don't blame them. Because they have the right to do that. They have the funds to do that. A lot of people are staying in the city and the state. They can't afford to go. That's why they're staying. And you have some people who are out, like me, who are staying. It's not financially viable. I'm staying because I'm going to stay and fight for my state and take my state back. Because if you up leave your state because of this or that, you actually handing it over to the bad guys, in my view. In my view. Governor Bruce Rauner is always my way or nothing. That's the way he talks. He doesn't talk to the press. If he talks to the press, it's his way or the highway. Illinois is a Democratic state. Rauner is a Republican president. He's trying to make Illinois Republican because he knows he cannot get anything through his turnaround agenda or other things he wants to do to the state because there's Democrats blocking him. And just because they're blocking him from destroying the middle class, he's going to blame them for not letting him put his agenda through. And he should not have his agenda. I admit Michael Madigan, John Cullerton, some of the Democrats in the legislature in Illinois, some of them are assholes too. They need to be thrown out too. But Rauner has made things worse. No doubt about it. This guy wants to see people suffer, and people are suffering. Not suffering enough for this dude. They're not suffering enough for this. So we have 2 more years of round if we can sit, and we may have to take it. We may have to swallow, hold our nose or something, take it. So he is convicted of corruption, or he just not voted back in the office for a second term. Papers in the city of Chicago, the Chicago Tribune, and the Chicago Sun-Times are calling him a failure, and they back it up with so much evidence. And I totally agree. But he does. Of course he doesn't. He does. He does care. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, we talked about the state layoffs. Wow. Yeah, we were going to have a major teacher strike coming up. I believe around May 16th. The teachers were saying this all last month that they were going to strike for this. And somehow they backed off of it. They're not going to strike. I wonder what changed their mind. They've gave all kind of reasons to why they won't strike. They're saying, well, we're not going to get paid. That's not going to, you know, and so many words saying, we're not going to strike because we're not getting paid. We're not going to strike because the city will not give us money. We're not going to strike because the city doesn't have any money. Public schools are broke. Oh, folks, they knew this before they even thought about striking. It's not like the public schools went broke yesterday. The public schools have been broke for years. And they're saying they're not going to strike because I believe my thinking is the reason why they have decided not to strike when they were so adamant on striking is because they got a lot of criticism. They got a lot of criticism from parents, people of Illinois, Chicagoans about them always. I get a lot of flack about this. Bashing teachers, you must don't. There's good teachers and there's bad teachers. There's teachers who are dedicated to their profession, and there's teachers who are just there. And I know this. That's why whenever I say something or whenever I write something about a teacher, I always say some teachers. I never generalize to say all teachers because that would be crazy. But there is no doubt about it. I believe they have too much heat from parents and other people because every time you looked around, strike. I mean, I think Chicago public school teachers have make a pretty good buck.
I am, but we haven't got a contract.
Teachers are, you know, at Chicago Public Schools. And I have dealt, like in the police department, you have good cops, you have bad cops. Chicago schools, you have good teachers, you have bad teachers. That's why I always say when I'm teaching, teachers are bad. Not all teachers are bad. That I would be pretty naive to say something like that. But if you want to feel free, you want to feel free to bash me, go right ahead. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. We are expecting my guest, author Lynn Lemonsdorth. He is a fiction writer. I love talking to fiction writers because I love to get their take on how they come about doing their craft, because every writer is different. No writer is the same. Every writer comes to that craft a little differently, or author will. And that's something. That's something. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back. Folks, I'm going to take a musical break. As you probably know, we have no commercials on the show. I have been approached by people who want to to start having commercials on the show. And, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. It's money in it, but I don't know if I want to do that. I'm so, you know, I don't want a lot of commercials tying up my radio show. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I want the freedom to do what I want to do, and I'm doing that. All right, we're going to see if we can't find. All right, we will be right back, folks. Stay with me. Thank you. All right, thanks. We're back on the air. Okay. This Mother's Day, why not get the whole family together for some creative fun and games? Here's 10 ways to interject some laughter and love into your Mother's Day celebration. Remember, folks, if you've forgotten or if you hadn't thought about it, Mother's Day is this Sunday. If you're listening to the show live, it's this Sunday. But if you if you're archiving it or listening to it online, it may be after Mother's Day. But anyway, whether you're listening to this show before Mother's Day or after Mother's Day, have a great, great Mother's Day. All right, let's give you, it says 10, here are 10 ways to interject some laughter. We're talking about humor here. Okay, number one, take an exotic vacation. Go to the movies. I like that one, going to the movies. Find humor in family life. Make a little music. I like that one. Get pampered. Oh, man, I love that one. Go on a bug safari. Safari? No, I don't care too much for that one. Plant some flowers. I like that one. That was great. Okay. Make a lasting impression. That's cool. Read a good book. Hey, yeah. Or write a good book. And lastly, schedule time for hugs. That's a good one. That is a good one. And then there's some detail on each and every one of these topics. Take an exotic vacation. Even if you can't afford to go to Paris for the weekend, you can still enjoy a little taste of France or any other destination that intrigues you. Get some croissants for breakfast. Pack a picnic lunch of French bread, cheese, and fruit, or order a meal from your favorite deli or restaurant and get into the flavor of the country. For added touch, adorn your kitchen or dining room table with a red and white checker tablecloth and some fresh flowers. Put on some French music and teach your kids a few basic words in French, such as bonjour, meaning good morning, and merci, meaning thank you. Well, that's interesting. I'm just throwing something out there, folks, okay? Go to the movies. That's a good thing. I mean, we were supposed to go see Batman and Superman, but we didn't get a chance to do that, so we're probably going to wait until it comes on DVD. All right, go to the movies. One way to share family memories is to look at old photographs or home movies. If you live near grandma or grandpa, ask them to pull out old photographs and movies of you as a child and take a trip together down memory lane. Your kids or children will get a kick out of the style of clothes you wore, not to mention the fact that you were once a baby, toddler, or teen yourself. Okay, good. Go to the movies. You know, reminisce. Memories, okay? Find humor in family life. I don't know if I can do that, but, you know, it's good maybe for some people to do that. Start a tradition this year by creating a family comic strip. Take a long sheet of paper and draw three or four large squares next to the other one, like a newspaper comic strip. Then think of an event, celebration, or something funny that happened this past year and illustrate it with markers, crayons, or paint. You know, at one time I wanted to be a painter. I really loved painting. I used to go to the paint store and get oil paints, water paints. I'd get, you know, drawing paper and construction paper. Sometimes I'd buy canvas. I actually wanted to be a real live painter, like those 18th, 17th, 15th century painters, the famous one, Van Gogh. You know, I used to try to do things like the Mona Lisa. I mean, there was just something in me all those years ago that wanted to create something. I had this burning desire to create something. I mean, if I wasn't If I wasn't allowed to create something, I would go into a shell of myself. And I think that for a lot of people, if you are born to create, you must create. Whether it's a painting or a book or an essay or a letter or whatever it is, you want to make something, produce something that's original, you have to create. If you can't do that, then you're not happy. Then you are not happy. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Apparently, he's not going to show up, or maybe something happened. But anyway, you got me if there's no guest on the show. And they're talking about Prince. They're saying, I will get back to the Mother's Day's topics later on in the show, but they're talking about Prince. They're saying that, I don't know, whenever he didn't leave a will. So if you don't leave a will and you got $300 or $400 million out there and you got all of these siblings, half sisters, half brothers, whole sisters, whole brothers, and all of these people are vying for a part of that, it's going to be chaos. Prince, you know, I would advise everyone, even myself, a will. You know, you don't have to be over 65 or over 70, over 80. Start a will. I mean, start it right away in your 20s, your teens, 30s, 40s. Start a will. That way you can avoid a lot of nasty fights, especially within family members. You must have a will. Telling people where your fortune or where your money should go. You're going to direct charity, I mean, whatever you want to do with your possessions. You must have a will. Because one of the things is the prince didn't leave a will, according to some of the reports I'm hearing. He did not leave a will. So therefore, if he did not leave a will, the government is going to take half of his fortune and spread out the other half between his siblings, half-sisters and whole sisters, whatever, brothers and sisters, and that's going to be that. And they're going to be fighting over it. But the government is going to get half of it. Man, that's wrong. So if you don't want government to get half of what you possess and that you think you're going to leave behind after you pass away, draw up a will. And it's not that hard. I mean, there is not. You can download templates from the internet, fill it out from there, and then, you know, get at least two witnesses to verify it, their signatures and stuff like that, and you've got a will. You don't need to go out and hire a lawyer. I mean, you can if you want to. But have a will. You know, it took me a while to write a will. It really did. It really did. And I started thinking about my mortality. I started thinking about the things that I've gained and accomplished and the things that I owned and the things that I do not own. But, you know, you don't have to be rich to have a will. You know, no, you don't have to be a multi-billionaire. You don't have to be, you know, it's just that it's good to have a will. No matter middle class, poor people or, you know, whatever. Get a will. You never know when your day might come or my day might come where we might pass away. You don't want the government coming in and telling your family what they're going to do with your money, the things that you own, your possessions, stuff like that. So you want to, you know, have a will. All right, that's that is that. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, and we're still talking about Mother's Day. Okay, all right. It says find the humor in family life. Okay, let's see what they're saying. A comic strip. Okay, let's go to the next one. make a little music. We're talking about Mother's Day here, folks. And before I go any further, I want to wish all the people out there, all the mothers out there, happy, beautiful, wonderful Mother's Day coming up. And if you're listening to the show late or you're archiving it and Mother's Day has already passed, but then still, happy Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day. Okay, get pampered for Mother's Day. At some point on Mother's Day, you may want some time alone or a chance for a little rest and relaxation. Make sure that you get what you need and deserve by asking for it in advance. Sounds good. For instance, a few days before Mother's Day, all right, give your husband and kids a list of 5 services you desire. And that list could include being an hour alone so I can call a friend or soak in the tub. Man, soaking in the tub sounds great. Next, a chance to sleep in until 9 a.m. Boy, I'd like to sleep in a lot longer than that. Next, a manicure at my favorite nail salon. Next, no siblings squabbles for an hour. Next, whatever else you would like and love. Okay, have your husband and kids make up coupons with each of these services and be sure to redeem them throughout Mother's Day weekend. I mean, we can all think of something crazy to do on Mother's Day, you know, and it's all about having fun, being loving, and, you know, it's all about family getting together. And I'm going to have some more stuff on Mother's Day as this show goes on. Okay, it says go on a bug safari. No, I don't want to even read that. I'm not even interested in that. All right, because I'm not going to be hunting, going after bugs. I can't stand them. Okay, it says next one, plant some flowers. That sounds pretty good. I'm always I love flowers. I love plants, you know, especially when we can keep them alive. Okay, if you have some extra space in your garden, you can create a real live Mother's Day canvas. That sounds great. First, buy various packets of flower seeds that grow fast and well in your region. Then have your kids draw a picture or write a short message in the garden dirt with a stick. Okay, drop the flower seeds in the dirt lines and then cover them up and water them every few days. Before long, your picture or your message will be booming and you'll have a Mother's Day gift that keeps on growing. It sounds great, doesn't it? All right. Next one says, make a lasting impression. On a warm day, go outside and have your children and anyone else who's game place their hands and feet into a shadow tub of colorful, non-toxic paint. Spread out a roll of butcher paper and have everyone press their hands and feet into it, leaving their prints behind. Label each handprint and footprint with the person's name, the date, and the special message to mom. And allow your collective masterpiece to dry. Try this activity again next year and see how much bigger some hands and feet have become. Well, that's interesting. Okay, the next one is read a good book. Now, I can probably elaborate on that a lot longer than this one paragraph. Okay, read a good book. All right, if you have some downtime on Mother's Day, take a blanket outside and leaf through a children's book that's just right for the day, such as The Mother's Day Mice, No Time for Mother's Day, Clifford's Happy Mother's Day, or Are You My Mother? You could also select one of your own childhood favorites and read it to your kids. Well, that's nice. Clifford. When you when I think about Clifford, I think about my son when he was six or 7 years old, and he used to watch Clifford every day on PBS. I mean, this guy loved Clifford, and Clifford was like the big red dog. You know, I mean, that should thrill children, just watching Clifford the big red dog on Happy Mother's Day. And there's a lot of books out there, Clifford books out there, children books. So, you know, and my son used to also watch Caillou. He loved Caillou. I mean, he was a Caillou kind of a little kid. I mean, little boy. He was Caillou crazy. I would watch my son as he would be watching Caillou on PBS. And I can see that he admired Caillou. It was emotional for him. I mean, this little guy, I used to tell him when he's gotten older, I said, hey, and he would still watch Caillou when he was 14 and 13 years old. He would still watch it, even 15. Caillou, this guy never aged. He was always 4 years old. And I used to tell my son that, but he really didn't care. But now I think he's gotten over Caillou. Okay. I like this next one. Schedule time for hugs. Finally, what would Mother's Day be like without hugs and kisses all around? That sounds great. One way to work them into your day is by setting up a silly hug and kiss schedule and posting it on the refrigerator or the visible spot. For instance, you could write 10:30 a.m. for kisses and hugs. That's great. Everyone runs around the couch and gives mom a hug and a kiss. And for 2:15 p.m., everyone hops around the oak tree on one foot and assembles for a group hug. Make up your own directions and silly things to do, but be sure to include lots of hugs and kisses and laughter in your day. This is Mother's Day. And those are some fun tips and facts on things to do on Mother's Day, how to make mother feel so warm and welcome. Those are a few tips. I'm pretty sure you can probably think of your own, but I just threw that out there. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block. We will be back if we can. What we got here? All right. That's a doorbell. I always like that doorbell. Who is it? Okay. Union tells teachers not to call in sick. City do not have money. We're talking about Detroit here, folks. It seems like the school system in Detroit will be running out of money. They're talking about next week. Next week, it will be running out of money. They don't have money to pay teachers. Maybe this is what scared the Chicago teachers. This could have been what scared their asses to not go out and strike. I don't think they're, like I said before, I don't think the Chicago teachers decided not to strike because they just felt that the city didn't have the money. Even they're saying now that the city has the money. So there's a possibility that the Chicago teachers will continue to go out on strike. They might decide to go out on strike altogether, you know. So we're going to take a break right here, folks, and I will be right back if we can find something. Can we find something to click to cue this up with? Let's see. We talked about... Okay, we'll be right back, folks. We'll be right back. All right, we're back on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
I want to do one more dedication to the life of Prince. This guy was just awesome entertainer, and I thought he and Michael Jackson were total rivals. So we're going to do a song dedication to the life of Prince. This is one of his songs, one of his greatest songs, at least I think, When Doves Cry. All right, that was Prince, When Doves Fly. That was one of his, I think that was taken from the Purple Rain album way back in 1984. But, you know, I mean, Prince was, he was a magnet. He's an icon. But for me, it was Michael Jackson. I knew of Prince. I knew of their rival. And it was just Michael Jackson. But now that Prince is gone, I'm learning more and more about what a great icon he was. And that, if you think about it, him and Michael Jackson were two paramount stars, two creative people who had to create. Just like I just got through saying, if you don't create, you're not going to be yourself. And they were creators. I mean, they were totally talented people. And they went about their talent from different directions. It didn't make any one of them less talented. They just came at it from different directions, and they were successful at it. So When Doves Cry, I mean, when Prince died, the day he died, I started just like anybody else, I mean, looking for anything that I could get my hands on by Prince. I'm not kidding. I mean, I was, hey, you know. And I find out, like a lot of other fans were telling me, I find out that Prince's slower music is probably his better music. Instead of the screaming guitar or something, his slow jams are really the ones that really get you. When Doves Cry. And that's great. Even though I'm discovering Prince a lot more, a lot better, I appreciate having a better appreciate him because he's dead. That's a shame. It's a shame, but that's what's happening. I have a better appreciation of him, and I do love his music. Some of it I love a lot better than some of his others, if I can say that. And he's going to be greatly missed. Like I said before, he didn't leave a will. Folks, leave a will, leave a will, leave a will. If you have something to give or to spread out, leave a will. Because if you don't leave it, the government is going to get it. I mean, they're taking half of, they're going to take from, by reports, they're going to take half of his estate. You know, and that's wrong. That's not right. I don't think. I think it's unfair. If it was happening to me, I'd probably sue the government, you know, but I mean, they're going to take half of it, you know, so I mean, if it's the state of $300 million, they're going to take $150 million. And I guess the remaining balance of the $150 million from that $300 million is going to go to his siblings. And I've got to look. I, you know what? I got to look at his siblings. They don't look like they. They look like they were poor. I don't think he took care of them. They look like they were poor slobs. His sister looked like she was a prostitute. Well, they're gonna get a few million, but you know, maybe they can straighten out their lives. But all right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are talking Prince. I mean, the guy's been dead about a week and a half, you know, so some people are still talking about him. They are still talking about him. But basically what they're talking about is his estate and him not leaving a will and the government taking half of his estate. So, you know, so leave a will. And I'm telling myself that, too. I mean, I have a will. I have yet to complete it. But leave a will. Even if you think you don't have anything, leave a will. Because you never know. You know, you never know. Okay. It is still gray here, folks. We're recording, broadcasting out of the city of Chicago. It is still gray. It's cold. And, you know, this is funny weather. I mean, if you live in Chicago, in the state of Illinois, you know that the weather changes every time you walk around the corner, it changes. And I don't know, it's something I can never get used to, because the way the weather changes it messes with your body chemistry. You know what I'm saying? That your body mechanism just messes all up because the weather just goes up, down. It's like a roller coaster One day is 80, the next day it drops down to 30. And your body, you know, it just doesn't reconcile with that kind of thing. And in Chicago, it has been a roller coaster ride with the weather, you know. So, and I want to say once again, happy Mother's Day to everybody out there, to all the mothers out there. And I know some great mothers. I'm going to be saying that throughout the show every day this week until, you know, after Thursday. And get out there. If you love your mother, if you're crazy about your mom, get out, and she's done so much for you, do something for mom on Mother's Day. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting straight out of the city of Chicago. It's cold, and but it's something we have to deal with. I want to say something to some of the friends I have out here. They've been talking to me about getting book reviews. Getting their book reviewed. So I, you know, I went and I found this, and I hope this helps for people who want to get their books reviewed.
This interview with our ebook experts, Amy Harrop and Debbie Drum. They talk about how to get reviews for your ebook, which is your first step in your marketing efforts. If you missed our first interview on creation of ebooks, you can find it on writeforkids.org.
So Debbie and Amy, we've got our ebook, we've created it, we've uploaded it onto Amazon. What's our first step toward marketing our brand new ebook?
First of all, I want to say thank you for having us here. I forgot to kind of do that, but
sure.
Yeah, we love doing these interviews, so thanks again for having us.
Mm-hmm.
And so one, you know, big strategy that you should do before you even spend, you know, one penny marketing your book is to get reviews. And, you know, we always tell people this, and you want to kind of think of, you know, what do you do when you go to Amazon to go and purchase a product, or anywhere for that matter? Your eyes just naturally glance over the star ratings and how many reviews the product has. Like, that's like almost like the modern day natural instinct that people have when they buy almost anything. What are other people saying? You know, restaurants, we go to Yelp, and we just want to hear what the feedback is before we invest any time or money into anything that we're buying. So that is what people are doing when they're buying books. They're seeing, hey, you know, what are other people saying? Good, bad, or indifferent. And a lot of times what people think, because they see, you know, other books, they see like, oh, this book has 100 reviews, this book has 250 reviews. Oh my gosh, I have to go out and get all these reviews. Well, that's not what you have to do at all. Your strategy in the very beginning or goal should be like, let me get 3 reviews. So not this gigantic number of 100 reviews. Oh my gosh, I can't market my book until I get 100 reviews. No, it doesn't have to be that complicated. So that's number one. You don't need a million reviews. Go out, have a target, 2 to 5 reviews, start there, and then as you progress, then you'll naturally just get more reviews. So, you know,
I agree. I totally agree.
The easiest way to do that is really the good old-fashioned asking people that you already know to review your book. This is probably the easiest way, you know, call up 5 friends.
Yeah, but they don't always do.
Call up your mom, call up your dad. Now, this is a good starting point, but we have to proceed with caution because Amazon has gotten smart to all these, you know, little tricks that publishers and authors and writers are kind of, you know, playing, you know. So it's not something that you want to use every single time you publish a book because Amazon will get wise to this. And a couple of ways they are already getting wise to this is Okay, if you've never reviewed a book before, then they're not going to allow that review to be published. So if you're asking somebody to review a book, make sure that they've bought other books and reviewed other books in the past so that they have more of a chance to getting that review up and published, okay? And again, this strategy is not to be, you know, used or, you know, used every single time. This is just one way to get your foot in the door and get started. So you don't want to be asking the same exact people every single time. So that's not what you want to do. So, you know, friends and family, good, great place to start. But as we get into it, there's more great strategies. And next, Amy is going to talk about another strategy that we used recently that worked out really, really well in getting a lot of exposure and getting those initial reviews on brand new books.
Right. So when you kind of you're thinking about this book review strategy, I'm going to jump in here with some other strategies that we've used. You have that kind of broad base of just people you know. They may not be interested in that book so much, but then you want to start moving up, and you might want to be thinking a little bit, you know, like a pyramid where you have the kind of broader people, and then you want to start narrowing it down. And now we want to start tapping into people who may be interested in that particular book or topic. So, you know, if you have a children's book, people who buy children's books for their, you know, for their kids. And one of the best ways to do this is actually to give away your book for free and to run giveaways. And this is a really powerful way to get targeted reviews for your book. And you can do some limited giveaways on Amazon if you're in the KDP Select program. And Debbie's going to talk a little bit more about that in terms of leveraging that. But there are two other sites that you can use that work really well for getting the attention of readers because they're sites that are geared toward readers. The first site is called LibraryThing.com. And it's just like it sounds, LibraryThing.com. And it's a very popular site for readers. It's a social site. You can go on there and you can review books and discuss books. Unfortunately, the layout of the site isn't the best. It's a little confusing, but it is a popular site. It's a little just chaotic to have a lot of stuff on there. But as a member, it's very easy to sign up. Once you've signed up and you either have to review a certain number of books or you just pay like a $2 fee, you actually can run giveaways for the other members. And you can give away electronic versions of your book, or you can give away physical versions, and you can give away up to 100 copies of your book. And Library Thing has it specifically set up where you can actually ask members to leave reviews, and you can ask them to leave reviews at Amazon, at other places you might have your book on Library Thing. So this is a great strategy because they make it easy for you. It's literally like a one-page form you fill out and you upload your book if you're giving it away electronically, and then they just run the giveaway, and it's just really, really easy to do. And as Deb mentioned, we did use this strategy on one of our books recently. And a second place that you can run giveaways is Goodreads.com, which is actually, I believe it's just been purchased by Amazon not too long ago. And Goodreads is probably the most popular social site and reading site for people who are interested in books. And most authors should probably be on Goodreads anyway, because you get the opportunity on there to fill out like a little social profile about you as an author, and they have a lot of other author tools. So if you're an author, you want to be hanging out on Goodreads. Now, they also have a giveaway where you can give away your book. The only caveat is you have to give away a physical copy. Now, you can set that up for free at Amazon's site, createspace.com. And you can give away a free book, and you don't even have to pay anything up front if you don't want to. You can just have them print out one copy at a time to do your giveaway. And then on Goodreads, they will also, again, leave you reviews either on Goodreads' site or on Amazon. So those are two sites that are geared specifically toward readers, and they make it easy for authors to run giveaways and make sure that their book is getting into the targeted hands of whoever their audience is, and then some of those people will leave a review. Now, of course, not everybody will, but you will have some of those people leave a review. So the power of giveaways is something that, you know, you can utilize and leverage and make sure to use that to get more reviews for your book.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific. Now, I have two questions related to what you
just talked about. First of all, getting friends and family to do the initial reviews. Obviously, that's a great idea because they'll be happy to do it for you. But when you go on Amazon and you see three reviews of a new book that's just been put up there, I always kind of assume, oh, this is probably their friends reviewing it. So is it a good idea if you have a friend who is like a librarian, for example, or a teacher or someone like that, and you ask them to do a review and you actually, are they able to put with their name that they are a teacher or a librarian? Would that give the review a little more credibility to the average person?
I think she'll be here.
It?
I don't know.
If they can't put that in their sort of tag with the review, would it be good for them to work that into the review? You know, as a second grade teacher, I think this book would work great for my students, that sort of thing.
Well, I think fortunately and unfortunately, people can put really anything that they want in the review. So this can obviously work for you or against you. Because unfortunately, there are people out there, they don't realize how much hard work you put into a project, and they could instantly say something to turn other people off. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. One thing to do to kind of, get away from that is just to try to get more positive reviews or take the feedback to heart and make some changes to your book. So that's kind of like a side note. But anything that person, obviously if the person puts, five stars and says, this is an amazing book, everybody should buy it, that's a little obvious, right? Like, that's definitely your mom talking. But a well-structured review, even if you write the review, the writer, say, hey, I'll do you a favor and give you the review to post. That's not a bad strategy to do either. Just to get started, just to get those, that social proof in order before you start marketing.
Mm-hmm. And does the number of stars that your book review, that your book has, does that help with your ranking on Amazon, or is it strictly the amount of sales that you have that affects the ranking?
I really think it's the amount of sales that the stars could affect the sales, of course. But, like I was looking at J.K. Rowling's book that she came out with after the Harry Potter book, and that book did not get very good reviews. I think it has like a 3-star rating on average. But it sells, and it sells a lot based on the strength of her name. So, basically the way Amazon's algorithm works is like the more people buy it, the more they show it to people. So they do the, people who purchased this book also looked at this. So the more you sell, the more they help you out, which is, again, good and bad because you can sort of help ride that wave. But if you're not getting those sales on your book, it can be difficult for Amazon to sort of help you out with that.
Right, right. And I imagine, like you were saying, the more reviews you get, the more credible I think the reviews seem. Because obviously if you have 50 reviews of your book, chances are they're not all your friends who are reviewing it at that point. You've got people who actually just bought the book and loved it. So quantity is important here. My second question, following up what you were talking about, was about the book giveaways. How does that work? Do you get people's email addresses and then you send them the free copy of the book if it's an electronic, if it's an ebook? You said with Goodreads is a physical copy, so I imagine that goes directly to Amazon. Does the author get any sort of information from the customers at that point?
Right, right. And that's a great question. With Library Thing, they do give you the email addresses after the giveaway, on the giveaway date is ending, and then you can just send it to them through email. Mm-hmm. With Goodreads, they also give you the addresses as well, the physical addresses, and then you're responsible for going into Create Space and placing those individual orders. And they have a lot of caveats, like, this is just for you to send this out. You can't be, like, sending them other stuff and things like that, So you just want to go and get the book out to them. But that's what they give you. They do give you their name and their address, but it's not really designed for you to be, like, taking that information and
following up with them yourselves necessarily, other than just getting them the book. I know with the Goodreads, I did do another follow-up email to them after they received the book, and I just said, you know, I hope you enjoyed the book. Here's a reminder, just please go leave a review.
Right.
So I did that, but I wouldn't be emailing them like every week or anything.
Mm-hmm. But it is acceptable to ask them to leave a review if they enjoyed the book. Is that okay to do?
Definitely. And that's what's great.
Okay, so getting reviews, we want to go on these sites where a lot of readers gather and do book giveaways. I think that's a great idea. What about approaching review bloggers, other blogs like parenting blogs, places like that where they might actually talk about your book?
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of our next strategy for sure, is to contact people who are, who definitely head up those types of review sites, as well as the audience of those review sites and other authors in your niche. Now, this is a strategy that we also use in conjunction with our KDP Select Free Days. And that is just a program that Amazon runs.
You
want to
bet?
You can actually
place
your book for free for a 24-hour period in a matter of 90 days. And it's something that you have to elect to be in, put your book in. You know, there's some stipulations with that, like you can't publish your book anywhere else if your book is on the KDP Select program. So, and people always ask us, like, okay, well, if I ask somebody for a review, how does that work? Like, how do I get my book to them? Do I give it to them for free, or do they buy it? And both. You want to use both strategies. You want to utilize the KDP Select Day so that you can promote your book and tell people, hey, my book is free. You can download it for free, and you can leave a review that way. And this way, in the eyes of Amazon, it still looks like a verified purchase. So it's not like you're emailing them the book and then you're trying to get around Amazon. So that's just one strategy. An even better strategy, though, and this will happen as you kind of grow your network of people you know and unite with, and maybe they'll review your book, you'll review their book. That's a great way to just get reviews too with other authors. Is you just get them to buy the book, and maybe you make the book like 99 cents, so it's not expensive for them to buy, and then leave a review that way, because that will also help with in the eyes of Amazon as well, because now Amazon is seeing that you have sales and you're getting reviews that way as well. So using those KDP Select Days and also asking people to buy your book are two great strategies. And you can go ahead over to different Facebook groups. Facebook groups are kind of easier to interact with people as opposed to like going to blog sites, but that's definitely also a great way to do it, because you can reach out to blog owners. A lot of the times they charge for that publicity, so you're going to want to get some reviews first before you go ahead and shell out, you know, sometimes it could be like $200 or $400 for them to promote your book or leave a review, whatever. These people are being asked all the time. You know, you can imagine every single day they're getting asked to leave reviews or do book reviews on their site. So obviously they're probably going to most likely charge for it. But Facebook is a great way to just find people, and there's a lot of pages that are directly related to, you know, the effort in getting reviews. So people, that's what people are there for, and that's what, you know, we all know that we have to get this done in order to move up the ranks at Amazon. So, you know, those are, do you have anything to add, Amy, in addition to the Facebook and other social media sites?
That can be a good way to get reviews. I think it's always great to just sort of put it out to the different author groups and not necessarily always do a straight across reciprocal, but review other people's in the group too. You don't want to be somebody who just pops in and asks people to review your book, but you don't reciprocate for anybody else. So you should always, if you are going to be making use of a group, you should always try to review at least a couple of other authors' books that are in the group as well. You know, just to be a good Samaritan and to make sure that you're part of the community.
Another idea for getting traction on some of these blogs, what about offering to do a guest post for someone?
Certainly. I mean, there's also kind of taking that a little further. You can even do what's called, you know, blog tours, which is basically a book tours where you visit a series of blogs. And there's actually some services out there that will arrange those for you for a fee, of course. But it's a good way, too, if you want to try to connect with other bloggers in your niche as well, where you can go and do a brief visit at maybe, you know, 3 or 4 blogs or something like that.
Debbie, you had talked about pricing your book at 99 cents. And that's an interesting point. I didn't think about...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, folks. I hope you enjoyed that how to get reviews, book reviews on Amazon.com. I play that clip every now and then because I know I have a lot of authors and writers listening to the show, and a lot of new people who are writers listening to the show, and they don't have any reviews on Amazon.com. Let me throw this out there, folks. Let me throw this out there for people who are panicking because they don't have any reviews or very little or one or two reviews on Amazon. I'm going to tell you this, folks. If you got one or two reviews on Amazon, star reviews, you've just conquered it all. If you have one review, if it's a 5-star review, don't worry about it. If you got 2 reviews or 10 reviews, 8 reviews on a certain book, and you have no reviews on other books, don't freak out. Because I'm about to throw something out at you that you may have already know, that you may not know. You do not need a whole hell of a lot of reviews to sell your book. You don't. If you needed a lot of reviews to sell your book, you would have had them already. People do not. I mean, a lot of writers, a lot of readers, people who download your book or buy a physical copy of your book, they are not going to go or waste their time going to Amazon to review that book. They may like it, but you probably will never see a review from them. I mean, because there are so many book has been downloaded. I can't tell you how many times, but I know that people are reading it. But a lot of those people who are reading my book and a lot of those other books, they will not leave a review for whatever reasons. If you're lucky to get 1 or 2 or 3 reviews, you are lucky. And that's good enough for someone to want to buy your book. It is. It really is. You don't need a lot of reviews, and you may not need any reviews for your book, especially if your book is selling. What you need, don't get me wrong, I think reviews are great. I'm not saying do not go out and seek reviews. Everybody should seek reviews. But I'm saying do not, you know, overdo it. Okay, and trying to get a review. If you get 1 or 2, that's great. 3, 4, 5, that's great. If you're looking for 10 and 20 and 30 reviews, you know, I mean, that's up to you. Reviews, they do make your Amazon page look a lot better. They do. I mean, reviews can be, but not all the time, a sales getter. But basically, I'm going to back up a little bit. What do you need to sell a book is a great-looking book cover. You need a great title, something that's going to pull people in. And you need to write a unique story, a unique book. And you yourself can do an editorial review for your own book. That is where you just, you know, toot your own horn about what you've just written. If there's no review for your book on Amazon, people will go to the editorial part of it and they will see glowing things about your book that you've written basically yourself. And Amazon will let you do that. I should know because I've done it. It's not cheating. It's just you talking about your own book. And that will get you reviews all right there. Brag about your book in the editorial section of the book, of your Amazon page. You don't really need a review or a lot of reviews to get your book sold. You really don't. But I'm not saying do not get reviews. If I can get 100 reviews, I would go out there and get them in a minute. But I know that I don't need 100 reviews to sell my book. I don't need 50 reviews. I'm hearing that if you have 50 reviews on your book, Amazon will help push your book. But it's so hard trying to get 2 reviews. People don't do reviews. I mean, I've interviewed people where they said their books have been downloaded maybe 50 or 60, 70 times. But not one of those people who downloaded that book left a review. And you do, if you want reviews, it's best to go out and get reviews. But you have to watch out for the person that you're asking for a review, because they may not have an Amazon account. Or I've had this review swap thing. I've done that. Hey, it's cool. It's great. But a lot of times, the person is asking you to swap a review. They want you to write the review first, and then they'll write the review of your book second. That doesn't always work, because there were a time when I wrote a review for the person that I'm supposed to swap a review with, but that person never wrote a review for me. So I, you know, deleted my review of that person's book. So you really have to be conscious and looking out for people who want you to write a review for their book. Then there are some people who write reviews, they've never read your book. They never picked up your book, but they go and give you a 5-star review anyway. Would you want something like that? I hear somebody say, yeah, that's fine. I wouldn't. I would want the person to read my book and give me a fair and honest review of what that person thinks of the book. Just don't just throw a 5-star review up there because I asked you to do it. But you got people out there who do that kind of thing. It's wrong. All right. I'm hearing 60 seconds in my ear that I have left into the show. It's 7:28 straight up time. We're going to go out with this, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we shall see you tomorrow. We shall see you tomorrow if we can find this clip so we can kind of go out on this clip. Let's see. You found it? Sometimes things happen, folks. And you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I will see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye. Open eyes.